I don't know. But generally when it says terrible, it means not good. So the apostle or the prophet here was warning us of things to come. Things that were going to be happening. So he carries on. Now verse 6 of chapter 3. He says, "For I am the Lord. He is I am." I read this the other day and I was like, because I am is italicized in my Bible. And I, "For I am." I am. That's the name of God. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. I do not change. Guess what? God hasn't changed since creation. He hasn't changed since his existence, wherever that came in. He says he's always been, so it's always been there. He hasn't changed. I do know one thing that he did have a regret. Anybody remember what that regret was? Us. "For I regret the day I made them." Then he turns around and he sends his son to die. I do not change. Nothing changed. God's intent for us the whole time has been to show grace and mercy. Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham found God's grace. Moses, the lawgiver, found God's grace. David walked in God's mercy. He wasn't supposed to touch that showbread. Definitely wasn't supposed to kill Uriah. Definitely wasn't supposed to take Uriah's wife. And yet, this is the man that before he got there, God said, "He is a man after my own heart." He found mercy. He found grace. So mercy and grace are not exclusive to the New Testament either. They've been here the whole time. God was trying to show us his love. So today, I'm telling you, God's grace and mercy are operating in your life if you will receive it. "Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Why are they not consumed? Because he always wanted to show us grace. See, some people think the showing mercy is a sign of weakness. I would rather be seen weak by the world and strong by God. "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But in what way shall we return?" Now, we're getting into it. This is not why I use this section of scripture. It's just there. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me, he says, "Yet you've gone away from my ordinances." He's not really talking about the law. The law's not evil. Paul taught us that. He says, "For if it were not for the law, I would not know what sin was." If it's not a speed limit sign, Matt, what do we do? Whoop. I know that's what I do. I'm like, I don't see a speed limit. Must be unlimited. I think I heard in Texas they got a highway that's got 85 now. They just did that so the people that are running 120 aren't getting, 70 miles an hour over. He's talking about the very next subject. Remember the Garden of Eden? Flat disobedience is what did it. They just disobeyed God. He said, "Don't even go near that tree." Well, if you're near enough to the tree to pluck the fruit, isn't that a little too close? Will a man rob God? Oh, absolutely he will. What way, you say? In tithes and offerings. The ordinance God was talking about was the honor of not touching what was his. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was God's and God's alone. We didn't need to know what sin was, because we wouldn't want to hurt somebody else, period. But we wanted to be wise, right? That's what the serpent used. You will be wise, like God. Is that exactly what happened? No. It's not what happened. What happened was they realized they were naked. That's a great blast of wisdom, isn't it? And then one of their boys beats the other one to death with a rock. And after that, the world became so perverse, God said, enough is enough. My spirit shall not dwell with them any longer. In 120 years, I'm going to stop this. That gave Noah time to build the ark. Gave Noah, Methuselah, and I believe Enoch was still around at that time, time to preach repentance. And in the end, you know how many people were on the ark? Just eight. Just eight. Nobody would repent. Isn't that sad? God gave them 120 years to repent. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I'm not a huge fan of every time there's somebody gets in a pickle, they come to the United States with their hand out. You're absolutely right. That's my tax dollars. Unbeknownst to the U.S. government, this was a country founded on Christian principles. And one of the Christian principles is helping those who cannot help themselves. So by helping those, I'm not saying we fund wars. I'm not a fan of that. You didn't want to be part of the UN to begin with. I don't want to be part of the UN, the NATO. And if anybody's getting any money and there's no food going to the people, then enough is enough. I have friends who actually are over there. The whole nation, but by the United States government, helping out in times of disaster. That's us tithing as a nation. Look at it that way, because otherwise, you know it ain't going to change, right? We can put it on social media. We can get in form rallies. Change, change. We don't want our money going anywhere. Oh, we should absolutely be taking care of our own homeless here too. Don't. Yeah, we won't get started on that soapbox. But by our government sending money to disaster areas, we are tithing. And guess what tithing brings about? Let's see if we get there. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. We are still the most blessed nation on this planet. We're still. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you planning a vacation? We're all planning one, something, right? We're all planning a trip somewhere. Anybody play? No hands, guys. Listen to me, guys. Anybody planning on buying a new gun this year? Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't let your wife know. Well, if you are, do you need another one? I really don't. Would I like to have another one? Like a hammer. Can you have enough? I got a bunch of hammers. I don't know why I got them. I can't use them all. You be quiet. That there may be food in my house, and try me now. This is where God says, I dare you. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. This country is probably one of the worst economic states it's ever been in, except possibly the Depression. But things changed since the Depression, right? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God's going to stop those things that are coming to taking your retirement funds. And if something does come in, look to God. Watch what God can and will do. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit, for you are in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. Guess what? If people thought we were such a bad country, they wouldn't be flooding by the millions to our southern border. I don't care how they got there. They still want to be here. When I was overseas, anytime. It didn't matter, the Philippines or in Okinawa. A girl comes on to you, the first thing the guys are starting, she wants the PX in the sky. She wants to get to the United States to get all that shopping. And that's what they do. They try to get these servicemen to fall in love with them. Now, if these guys have fallen in genuine love, praise God. I think the race has gotten a little bit too straight line. I'd really like to find the gene about the short legs. Find out where that came. We need to bring the long leg people back in. Yeah. As he stretches them out for me. No. I'm just teasing you, brother. I love you. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Again, they want to be here because the blessing of God is upon this country. The blessing of God has been upon this country because we stepped in and helped the rest of the world. Oh, by the way, we were part of the whole resolution that got Israel back on its feet. Guess when our greatest time in history has ever been? I got my history teacher shaking his head. Amen. I'm on track. It was right after World War II. The largest generation to ever hit the population of this country was born at that time. In spite of the fact that I forget how many died. And most of them were men. We killed fathers. Fathers were killed off by thousands and thousands just in single battles. But we will be a delightful land. People wanted to come to our country. People are willing to take the chances with sharks and drowning to death coming from Cuba. How bad has it got to get? Really? Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. Why should I serve God? He hasn't done anything for me. Well, the first thing you need to understand is he paid the price. The rest of it is up to your obedience. At no point did God ever take obedience out of the equation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? God never said you had to walk around as mourners. Remember the prodigal son? He came back and his brother's like, this son of yours, he'd already disowned him. Wouldn't even call him my brother. This son of yours has come and now you kill the fattest and I couldn't even get a goat for my friends. And what did the father say? Everything I have is yours. All you had to do was ask. But he was mourning because, well, I think if I work harder, Father will love me more. Once the father separated the inheritance at that point, it was all his. And I'm pretty sure that during that time that the sheep and the goats made more sheep and goats. The other kid sold all of his. Who knows? Maybe he sold them to the brother. Everything was his. The crops in the field. I'm going to inherit this someday. So now we call the proud blessed. We have people from the pulpits spewing forth arrogance. And this is what I'm talking about with Driscoll and Lindell. Instead of taking his friend to the side, say, brother, I feel you did wrong. I saw the video. There's one part Angela said, that grossed me out. I understood why he did it, but I get it. He's a stripper. Both gay bars and women bars. So what he did was very provocative. But the rest of the act, I've seen it on AGT. It's cool. Some of it did not need to be. Should have been more vetting. But we become proud. It's my job to get up here and embarrass my friend. No, it wasn't. It just cost you a friend, and it's going to take some forgiveness. Oh, yeah, by the way, it just kind of gives Christians a bad name, too. All around, doesn't matter. Told you all them preachers there are just out to be. No, we're not. Trust me. Because Well, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Nobody goes free. Well, it looks like they're getting blessed because of it. Listen, if I have to walk this earth a pauper to walk on streets of gold, I grew up with welfare in my family. Dad almost died a couple times. I mean, what's poor hillbilly supposed to do? I'm used to it. I know how to go out and pick berries out of the briar patches. Eat those knobby little apples. I remember how to do it. You know what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple. They even go free and tempt God. They're not being blessed. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened to them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him. Those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. It's people who fear God. What are people that fear God? Oh, they tremble. No, they believe the word of God, that it's real. And when God called them to a repentance, what did they do? They said, I have been wrong. I have wronged you, brother. They began to repent. The Bible is about repentance, not blessing. We see the blessing, but it comes with repentance. And if you're, well, I'm so blessed. I mean, just look at what I got. I don't really care what you got, because the devil will make you rich too. If he can deceive you into thinking that you're blessed and your life is a train wreck, well, my life, I don't do any of that stuff in the Bible, but look at me. God has blessed me. No. Your house of cards will fall. So, but here's what I love to part. So a book of remembrance was written for them. When we go to each other and when we come before God, God has it written down. Said, Art came to Phil and said, forgive me for what I did to you. I repent. Don't try to justify it. As I was thinking on talking to you this morning, I was like, well, I need to justify it. No, I don't. If I let anger come out, that's not generally me. And trust me, if I'm really, really, really angry, there's about 4 people on the planet who have seen me at that stage. And they will tell you, you will know it. I didn't get there because that's something I keep crucified, sometimes daily. Oh, you're such an angry man. We all got tempers. It just depends on who stepped on your toes at that particular point when you're going to pop them in the nose. Amen? But a whole book was written. So we go before God and he says, look, I want to remember this conversation, that they humbled themselves before the sight of the Lord. They heard my words and they believed. Jesus said, blessed are those who believed and have not seen. But yet we take repentance and we believe. Well, I'm going to expect great blessings tomorrow. Not necessarily. Tomorrow you might get your butt kicked. Then what are you going to do? Are you going to run around crying about it? Call somebody close and say, hey, I need some prayer. You got my back? All right. And keep moving. If you're going through hell, keep on moving. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, we will become God's precious. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. God said, I will spare them. Now, I will say this. While you know my stance on pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, I don't care. Jesus is coming back. If I see, praise God. If I don't, praise God. But he said, those who I call mine, I will spare. What would he have to spare us from? Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Ladies and gentlemen, I know what I've taught about judging. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us not to judge. But there's one thing he did say to look at. Anybody know what it is? Fruit. Look at their fruit. You claim to be a Christian, right? You out here, you're a tree. And I'm a golden delicious tree. I had to think of a good apple. I'm a golden delicious apple. I prefer them a little green. But I go up there and I take that fruit. And it's so beautiful. That's not good fruit. That's an onion. It's nasty. It was not what I wanted. But I'm still claiming that I'm a golden delicious tree, even though I'm producing onions. See, that's religion. John the Baptist, who was the predecessor before Jesus Christ in the spirit of Elijah, said that even now the axe is laid at the roots. He's cutting the tree down and burning it. I don't want to be a tree that God has to have cut down because I didn't want to repent before him. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, I have been, the last couple weeks, God has really been giving me the what for on some things. Despite what has come my way, the things the Holy Spirit has indeed revealed to me that I was wrong on. That's why I repented to you this morning, that if I'd said anything with any anger, I did not mean it in anger. I just get a little excited. It maybe came out the wrong way. But I do not want to hurt you. But sometimes we need between the eyes. I know you teachers can't do that. Back in my day, they did. I remember a teacher who, one of my friends he could not shut up. You could tell him to shut up. He wouldn't shut up. And the teacher got a plastic folding file or folder, put it on the back of his head, took the roll of tape, and went around his mouth. And that's how he spent the next 2 hours. And he still tried to talk through it. We're like, Greg, just shut up. Man, you're already in the back of the classroom with tape around your head. The next place is the hallway. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. God's going to cut down the works that are not good. And they will be burned up. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness. I've not looked into this, but I caught it the other day. Anybody see how son is actually spelled? It's not S-O, is it? It's the first time I've ever seen or heard. I've heard people call their children, especially the boys, my sunshine. Okay, I get it. I'm a guy. Hey, you may have a different name for him. With healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. We don't need to go down that path today. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Folks, not that we want to go out and trample what is left of the people, but people who will not repent, they will be burned up. And God has not only been stirring in me, that we need to repent of attitudes or even flat out sins that we've allowed in our lives. If God told you not to eat a Little Debbie ever again, and you're eating Little Debbie's again, what is that to you, ladies and gentlemen? Paul, listen, understand something about what grace did. Grace changed the game. It made it tougher. No, grace is supposed to be easier. No, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes. And Paul said, if you know good and not to do it, that is sin. So if you know the Little Debbie's going to kill you, and you still eat the Little Debbie, is there another conclusion? Is there one I'm missing that God said, don't do this, you could die? Then it becomes sin to us. Sin isn't always of the sensual nature. That's the only thing we seem to realize, think is sin, is sexual sin. And it's in there. So as this week, as I was, you know, been talking to the Lord, and he reminded me, that in Revelation, I will begin to wrap up, I promise. Revelation 3, because I promised you this is over today. Revelation 3, as you were 2 and chapter 3, both chapters. God begins starting to say something to some people. And to the angel at the church of Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Ephesus, Laodicea, Philadelphia. I lost track. But anyhow, to the angel. Is God speaking to an angel? No, he's not, because the word is wrongly translated in our books. It's messenger. He's speaking to the pastors of those churches. Because ultimately, it's the pastor's job to call things out. If attitudes and things are allowed to go on, Jesus said, I will take your lampstand. Let me break that down. He said, I will take you out of this picture. You will no longer be there. Now, while these churches did exist at the time of the Apostle John, John was pretty much an old man at this point. Maybe they did send this letter around. We don't know. But what we do know is that most theologians, most people who study the Bible believe that this is a sign of the end time churches. Not all of them are going to be the same. The vast majority of them allowed sexual immorality. We got the Jezebel. She did use seduction, but she wanted to take over. She thought it was her job. And by the way, not all Jezebels work through women. I heard one pastor say the majority of Jezebels I've ever had to deal with, so far for him, said everyone has been a man. They thought it was their job. They wanted that position. You know what that's birthed out of? You can stop it. It's called jealousy. Covetousness. By the way, it's one of the 10. Thou shalt not covet. They had other things against them. And God threatened the pastor. Not the sheep. God did. He said, I will take you out because you're not doing your job. You're not preaching the word. Paul said, we're under grace. We don't have to live by the law. And we do not. Because I promise you, you can't live by the law. Because the law didn't stop with the 10. The law went on to what you could eat. The law went into what you could wear. Women, you're not allowed to wear pants by the law. So many other little things. I like wearing them too. They're kind of cool. They got a little air conditioning. Ripped jeans. They're in style, right? Yeah, they're cool. You couldn't do that. You couldn't wear a rip or tear in your clothes. Oh yeah, you gentlemen with beards. It's really the only thing I have about the Chosen that I'd say you need to rectify this. They got Jesus up here with a nice trim beard. A couple other disciples ain't got beards. They're nice clean shaven. Jesus said, you won't even trim the edges of your beard. There won't be no scruffy stuff. It will be a big mountain man beard. I'm in trouble. I can't grow one. This is about what I get. Yeah, I get scruff. But they weren't to trim their beards. So let's look at it. You can't fulfill the law. Jesus said that. Paul said that. But Paul said, well, because we don't live by the law, should we therefore, when we're under grace, we can keep sinning, right? He said, absolutely not. Just because grace abounds more where there's sin doesn't mean we keep sinning more. It's not repentance. That's I got my get out of jail free card. True repentance brings you back to God. See, that's the thing with revivals. Revivals are about repentance, or supposed to be. Always have been. Come back to God. So today, I told you last week I was not going to give you an altar call last week. Today I am. I have spent the week repenting of things that I've allowed in other people's lives to keep going on, and to allow things in my own life. Because that's why I allowed you to. It's because I let things that God said, you don't need me to stay away from there. Oh, what was it, Pastor? It was Nunya. Just like, I don't care what it is with you unless God has shown me. And there's some things God has shown me. But I don't want to know. So what I want you to do, I want you to take the next couple minutes. I hope some of you are probably like, oh, Jesus, last week, man, maybe God started showing you some stuff this week that you need to repent of. Lord, I don't read your word. I don't sit down and read it enough. How can you stand unless you know the Bible? Do you know Gene Simmons knows the Bible better than most preachers? That's not saying he's such a great man. He's going to hell right now till he repents. But he knows the Bible. And he's Jewish. He knows this Bible. But he won't repent. He enjoys the life he's got. I'd rather enjoy the life that's to come. God doesn't want us to walk around. Listen, yes, your sins were forgiven once and for all at the cross. Gene Simmons' sins are already forgiven. That's crazy, isn't it? They're already forgiven. When you say, Lord, forgive me, actually what you're doing is receiving that forgiveness. And you're saying, I won't go down. I don't want to go down there, Lord. I recognize that it was wrong. And when you get there, you repent. And if you got to repent every couple days, keep it up. Oh, but that little Debbie looked good. I know. They are good. But you can't keep feeding them to yourself. Because they're not always good for you. So I'm hoping that you've taken the last couple minutes and you're examining your life. Don't worry about everybody else's. That's my job. And those that I know, I pray for. And I'm going to tell you something here. Do you want to know how to tell for sure that there's something in your life that's keeping you from enjoying God? Where's your joy? You come to the house of God and your joy goes away? You're reading your Bible, does your joy go away? Because you know you got something on your shoulders that you shouldn't be carrying. Sin comes back. Jesus himself taught us this. If you clean out a house, put something else in it. But if you keep bringing sin back into the house, the sin overtakes it. And it doesn't come back like it was before. It comes back worse. It's just, and I will tell you, it's the truth. I was sharing with Kim. Kim was my coach when I was doing my weight loss. And then I started getting shots in the shoulder of cortisone. And it's like, this ain't going anywhere. I'm getting heavier. And then I started stress eating. And it's like, man, jacket don't fit. I just bought that suit. You can't keep going back to the things because that weight comes back heavier. Does that make sense? If you've lost weight, you know it. It comes back with a vengeance. I've lost weight before. Ah, yeah, I feel good. 2 weeks later, that's more than I weighed before. I never thought I'd see 200 pounds. Never wanted to see 200 pounds. And trust me, my knees say, you don't need to be 200 pounds. So I'm going to ask you to stand. This is an altar. For those of you that didn't know that, I'm opening it. I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to spend an hour ministering because I'm not the one doing the work. You'll do more work as you talk to God, as you seek the Lord. So when the music plays, you come up, I will pray with you as an individual. And I don't want anybody else coming up. I'm going to do this. You're my sheep. Okay?
Taking me.
Seek God. Seek his face, not his hand. He loves you. He loves you better than any father in here could love their children. He doesn't want to see you smacked around. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that it brings life to our bones. Lord God, that you restore our health. You restore our strength like the eagle, that we may rise up. Lord, that when a storm comes, we can fly above it and we can just glide on the winds above the storm. Father, I thank you that you've moved in the hearts of your people. Lord God, I stand with them. And Lord, every time you bring them to my thought, I will pray for them. Lord, our desire is to be like you, to love people unconditionally. And now, Father, I thank you for what you've done here today. I thank you what you're doing tomorrow and the next day and the next week. Lord, I thank you that your spirit is going and has never left. But it's going to go out with them today in victory. Lord God, I call blessing in upon your people. Lord God, these doors, if you lead them to the door, teach them to knock. If the door doesn't open, teach them to walk away. Speak life and health to them in Jesus' name. Amen.